Welcome to Brains, Bibles, and Beyond, where we discuss theology and worldview apologetics. I'm Nate Day with Think Like Christ Ministries, and this guy over here in that stylish red shirt is Joel Rildeby with Brains and Bibles.
We got big support here today. Think Like Christ Ministries shirt and a solid rock.
Solid rock. Yeah. So
Brains and Bibles. Brains and
Bibles. Got my Brains and Bibles mug with my Willow Brew. And remember, if you like our content, please like and subscribe. Give us 5-star reviews and all that wonderful stuff. We appreciate it.
Yeah, if you want more information about our ministries, go to thinklikechrist.org for Nate and all the conferences and camps that he puts together and the other work. And then, of course, brainsofbibles.com for myself. And I much appreciate that. Check out everything we got going on here.
And if you got any comments for us or questions, you can email us at podcast@thinklikechrist.org. So today we have a special episode. We're squeezing this one right in the middle of our other episodes, getting it out sooner because it's more relevant to today.
Right.
And you may have noticed we have a missionary guest with us today. Would you like to introduce yourself and tell us who you are?
Yes. So I'm Rob Willoughby, right. Joel's brother. For good or for
from
bad.
Birth, since birth,
since yes. Birth.
Yes. Yeah, I had no choice in the matter, but here I am. And my family and I are missionaries in Estonia.
Okay.
And we've been there 13 years serving with Baptist International Missions, and we're here on a short furlough for the summer.
Awesome. Sweet, Estonia. So where is Estonia at? Because most people didn't do geography like me and have no idea. Like it's over there across the...
Across the pond.
Across the pond.
It definitely is, yeah. It's, well, before I started considering Estonia, I don't know where it was either. So it's a Baltic country. You've got three of them underneath each other. Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania. That's next to the Baltic Sea. Across from the sea is Sweden, if that helps.
Okay.
North of us is Finland. And then everything east of us is great big Russia.
Okay. So kind of squeeze right in there next to Russia then.
Right.
Sweet. Well, that's kind of cool.
Yeah. So tell us what brought you to Estonia. What kind of drew you to that country and people?
Yeah. Well, the shortest answer would be God led me there. But you probably want the story. So.
Yes.
We assume that God led you there. Yes.
Yes. Otherwise, at least hoping so.
Yeah. Otherwise, I shouldn't be there. But we're convinced God wants us there. Let's see. The story gets tedious if I say everything, but basically we began with an interest in Russia and took a mission trip there, fully expecting that God was going to confirm his call, that Russia was the place. But actually, by the end of the trip, we were not convinced at all that God wanted us there. In fact, we had some major doubts.
Okay.
We realized, again, if you're not called, you shouldn't be there. So we thought, boy, we've seen how hard the language is. We've seen how difficult it is to adjust to the culture, and just living there is very stressful, trying to get anything done. There's so much government red tape. If we're not called, then we shouldn't go.
Sure.
But during that trip and immediately after, I believe it was God was kind of sending people our way and saying, oh, you're considering Russia, or have you thought about Estonia? And it's a little country right next to Russia. And, at first we didn't think much of it. Yeah, thanks for your help. We'll think about that. But after 4 or 5 people had done this, we thought, maybe God works in this way too, through the Holy Spirit, through other believers, in kind of prompting us along. And so we started to explore that and then immediately felt confirmation in our hearts that this is what God wanted for us, Estonia.
Mm. Cool. So talk to us a little bit about goals and vision that you have for ministry out there.
Yeah, we've kind of been revising our ministry direction recently. You have to understand Estonia is, according to some studies, the least religious nation in the world. And we have, for years, we've been trying to start a church, but we can't seem to get more than 2 or 3 or 4 adults coming at any time. Otherwise, we lose someone, we gain someone. Adults generally will tell you, I'm not religious, I'm not interested, that's not for me, and that's pretty much the end of it.
Mm.
We have seen some people come to Christ, but it's rare. So recently, we feel God's really been leading us into focus more on children's ministries, because whereas we can get hardly anybody to our services or like any event that I can think of to do for adults or families, when we have our vacation Bible school every year, you know, we have 20 to 30 kids.
All right.
And that's...
And which that's, is huge out there.
Which, yeah, that's great.
Yeah, I mean, that's huge. That's bigger. That's more people than any church that's ever been started by any independent, you know, any Baptist missionaries, say, in the whole country. And so we see, well, God is blessing there. And, you know, God's using our kids in the schools to bring their friends. That really helps, of course. But so this last couple months ago, we were finally able to start a weekly Bible club that we have after our morning service. So we've tried to do this over and over again because VBS goes so well. And we're like, okay, we don't want to wait till next year to tell them again about Jesus. Yeah, we want to see them every week. And it just never has stuck until a couple months ago.
Mm. All right.
So God's definitely blessing us in this area now. So we have the Bible club. And then another fun thing I added to the mix last year was Pinewood Derby.
All right.
A lot of Americans know what that is. I know I was in the Cub Scouts for a couple years, and we did that. So last year, we had the kids come into my garage, and I was helping them make the little cars out of the block of wood. Mm. And then I had to make my own track too, which was something way out of my skill set. But we have a track, and the cars roll down, and it seems to work. So, but last year we had probably Estonia's, you know, first ever Pinewood Derby race in the history of the nation.
So. Wow! So you actually are hitting the history books now.
Yeah.
Rewriting history.
I'm sure there's a 10-point footnote somewhere that's being written right now.
It's gonna show up somewhere. It's got to.
Right. So the Bible clubs, and that's just a weekly thing that you're doing, or how often do you meet?
Yeah, that's every Sunday afternoon.
Okay, excellent. So what, obviously you're on furlough right now, so is that being run by someone else, or is this taking a break till you guys get back, or how's that work?
Yeah. The thing is, our ministry is so small, we don't have really anyone to cover for us.
No.
So we're just back for about 5 weeks.
Okay.
So
that's why the furloughs are so short.
It's taking a short summer break.
Yeah, I want to get right back to it. So.
Yeah, okay, good. Yeah, that's cool. why is Estonia so against religion? Is it just ingrained into them from past? I mean, obviously it's ingrained into them from past, but why?
Maybe like Soviet days?
Or... From the Soviet days? Or
oh, absolutely, yeah.
Okay.
And it goes even deeper than that. It's a lot of people, you start telling them about Jesus, and they'll bring up the Crusades, because the Catholic Church, they sent people up on the Northern Crusades.
Yeah,
they, you know, they subjugated the Lithuanians and the Estonians as well. Mm-hmm. And so from about the year 1200 on, Estonia has been dominated by, you know, so-called Christian empires, I guess.
Okay.
And they were forced to be baptized, and they'll bring that up like it just happened a generation ago.
That's been 1,000 years.
Yeah. Yes.
But then the Estonia was part of the Soviet Union for 50 years.
Okay.
And that made it where not just that the occupying power is Christian. At that time, it was anti-Christian, of course. Mm-hmm. That made it where not only is there that history with the Crusades, but now it became a very like suspicious activity, a very like shameful activity. Like, you know, a teacher doesn't go to church, you know. Sure. Anyone that's contributing to society is a responsible person. You don't go to church, you know. That's kind of like you're on the blacklist. So
gotcha.
Some people are still getting over that.
Yeah, I suppose. It's been a while though since they guess we're giving back their freedom, though, hasn't it been?
What year was that? Was the 90s somewhere?
It was, yeah, August 91.
91, okay. That's right. Yeah.
So, and even now, 31 years later, it's the same.
Yeah. Well, there's all these layers, you know, the Crusades, you have the Soviet Union. Now, it's all open, like you said. Now, people are completely like the here and the now.
Okay.
That's all that matters, is the here and the now. You want to talk about heaven, you want to talk about a God that maybe isn't there. I'm just thinking about where I'm going to go on vacation this summer. You know, that's where they're at.
Gotcha. So. And so there's no interest in spiritual things at all.
Not really, no.
But the kids, they seem to be responding well to it, or at least coming, and interested.
Yeah, they're coming. And we see, yeah, we see some kids making decisions. They're still Estonians. So, you know, a lot of their parents are the typical Estonians where, you know, I don't believe in that. But we had a couple new kids come this year, and I would talk to the parents, and they said, oh, yeah, we, you know, I said, are you religious? And they said, well, no, I'm not at all. But I'm really glad that our son can go to your VBS, and they're hearing about these virtues and, you know, morals, things from the Bible. They said, okay. That's really good.
So they at least some people then have at least some understanding of the moral teachings of the Bible then. So, okay.
Yeah, I've seen that a lot in America where somebody's like, no, that's not for me, but it's really great for my kids.
Yeah. Right.
And I really see them being better people. It's kind of like, can't you just connect those dots? This is an actual good thing for everyone.
But, exactly.
It is what it is. Well, you got a lot going on there. And maybe we can come back to some of that. But I know that there's been so much in the headlines that's involving, you know, Russia, Ukraine, the surrounding countries. Mm-hmm. Estonia, I mean, they would pride themselves, I believe, to be freedom fighters. Would that be correct? And they are very glad to be away from the old Soviet Union.
Oh, yes.
Yes. And so I know that they have concerns with all this going on. It looks like, it's kind of interesting. At first, I think a lot of people thought that Russia might just bulldoze their way through Ukraine and that's it. But Ukraine has done an excellent job, mm-hmm. Being very resilient. And turns out Russia's number one, attribute is propaganda, you know, and it's just not all quite there. But so anyways, just wanted you to share some of your thoughts on kind of just the situation there and how you are involved or how the Estonians are talking about it. Currently. Good.
Yeah, it is a big deal, of course, you know, in Europe, especially Eastern Europe. I'll say right off, though, that as far as like our safety and what's going to happen to Estonia, we don't feel any immediate threats there. No one does.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of NATO. Mm-hmm. That makes a big difference, you know.
Yeah.
The country of Georgia is not NATO. Ukraine's not NATO. So Russia could kind of get away with that, but, you know, technically if they attacked Estonia, then, you know, United Kingdom, America, Germany, France, you know, you keep listing them all, they're supposed to all declare war on Russia and you've got World War III. So as long as Putin believes that they'll actually, you know, uphold the articles, then he's not going to do it, but.
Which is a possibility they will.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't
know. It's at least possible.
It's certainly a deterrent.
Yeah. But so no one feels, immediately threatened, like, you know, we got to get out of here. No, not at all. Estonia has received a lot of refugees. I think some 35,000 or more at this point. And these are interesting. They're not typical refugees like coming out of Syria. They have like a lot of men. They're the ones that could get out because they're men, you know, but
mm-hmm.
It's the opposite in Ukraine. The men are not leaving. They're fighting. Which I commend them for. It's the women and children that are coming out. And yeah, Estonians really, most of them, they really feel a connection with them right now.
Sure.
Maybe they didn't care so much for them last year, but this year they do. They're like, oh, they're attacked by Russia. We know what that's like.
Sure.
They're being occupied. We know what that's like. And so they're receiving them. They're putting them up. They're trying to find temporary jobs. In this, the state, but then besides the state helping, I mean, you have private citizens that are just their whatever building that they own. They say, you know, we'll take Ukrainian families. They can stay here as long as they need to.
Good. And
really feel an affinity with them right now. Mm. There's, you know, Ukrainian flags everywhere.
That's awesome.
Nice. That's cool.
So, how can we pray for these people? You know, in the whole situation, think of Russia, think of Ukraine, think of everybody. How do we have effective prayer for this?
Yeah, well, I can tell you how I've been praying for them. you know, it's, you can think about it politically. You know, I even have some friends that are kind of on Russia's side, and they're still Russians that love Putin no matter what he does, you know. But so you have different sides, who's right, who's wrong. I have my opinion, but when it comes down to it, what you want is you want people to get saved. You want people to kind of be awakened. And these are the exact kind of situations where, you know, like if this happened to Estonia, I think there would be a bit of an awakening. Mm-hmm. Realize, wow, you know, is there something besides this life? Because mm-hmm. this life could be over any moment, you know.
It's fragile.
Yeah. Yeah. And so we're really praying that that people would come to Christ. And we've been hearing stories coming out of Ukraine. Sometimes you don't know what to believe, but mm-hmm. we've heard a lot of stories of, you know, people coming to the churches going out and, you know, sending kind of evangelists into these villages that have been devastated. And there's people coming to Christ, making decisions. And, you know, I don't care if they're Ukrainian or Russian, you know, these poor Russian guys, yeah, most of us don't like them right now, but you know, a lot of them were, you could say they were victims too, because, yeah. you know, they thought they were going into Belarus for training exercises. Next thing they know, they're invading a country and, you know, dying by the thousands. But these are just kids, you know, mm-hmm. some of them, you know, they're 17, 18, 19.
Yeah. So,
you know, they need the Lord too. Many of them have gone into eternity. So,
As a missionary, then, is there any way you can reach all the Ukrainian refugees coming in? Has that been anything that you've considered? Or
all along we've been open to that. We've not really had good opportunity, though.
Okay.
For one thing, we have a language barrier, because they coming out of straight from Ukraine, well, they definitely don't know Estonian. It's a completely different language. And they may or may not know English. So in our Russian is very limited. Yeah. We didn't set out to actually learn that language yet. And then the other thing is they're being so well taken care of. There's you almost have to fight in line to go help them, because everybody is like trying to shower on them blankets and pillows and toys for the kids and all this stuff.
Okay.
So
that's pretty good.
Yeah.
So I have two questions that I'll give you at the same time, because there's probably going to be overlap. It's probably going to go back and forth. So the two questions are, you know, what scripture comes to mind as all this is going on? And that might be treated completely separate from the other question. But the other question was, how does this, you know, do you think this lines up with any kind of biblical prophecy at all? Or, you know, why not kind of thing? So however you want to handle those.
Right. So the prophecy question, that's a very interesting question, actually, because, you know, most people see.
Thank you.
Well, I mean, I want to talk about it. I want to hear about it. So most people see, probably many viewers are aware. Most people see, you know, in Ezekiel talking about Gog and Magog and the invasion from the north. They say, oh, it's Russia. You know, it mentions city names like Meshech. And they're like, oh, yeah, that's, you know, the same consonants as Moscow is Meshech. And so that's definitely Russia, you know. And and then you have the king of the north in the book of Daniel. Mm-hmm. He's coming from the north. So there's like in prophecy, there's definitely something going on in the north. And I'm totally open to that being Russia. I mean, it definitely could be. Now is prophecy, maybe there's some wondering, is prophecy being like fulfilled before our eyes? Well, I'm more of a dispensationalist, and I'm more of a,
and that's okay. Here's a safe place.
That's okay. All right. it's not always okay in some places, but, I see all of this kicking off at when that 70th week of Daniel begins. You know, then we're going to see, you know, the rapture, we're going to see the coming of the Antichrist and all these things unfolding. So, I mean, I would say that none of this is the 70th week of Daniel. None of this is the end times, but right. It could be building up to it. You know, I'm totally open to that. But, you know, Russia could become, you know, completely impotent in nothing in a couple of years. And that doesn't mean that prophecy won't be fulfilled. It just means maybe not exactly how we thought.
True.
Yeah, you never know how these things are going to go.
Yeah.
So a couple of thoughts I have, you know, I never want to read headlines into the Bible. You know, I never, ever want to do that. And how many times have people gotten it wrong, you know, going about that method? It's just not good. It's not healthy. You know, when we think, well, it's going to get really bad. What's a relative term? Yeah. You know, when you think what is really bad, well, you're basing that off of what you know. And so I think there's a lot of things you have to keep in balance. And when it says something like the king of the north, you know, well, how far north? Is that immediately north? Is that really far north?
Yeah.
How are the geographical lines going to change through time? Mm-hmm. There's so many things that we just don't know. So I think I like to play it safe. I do like to study scripture and understand what I can. And I think a lot of things is you won't know it till it happens. That's usually how prophecy is fulfilled. Mm-hmm. It's like when Jesus came even. I mean, you think about how many prophecies lined up for Jesus Christ. And then when they saw him, it was like, oh, and it all came together. Oh, this is it.
Some people.
Well, yeah.
Most of them.
You're right. But for the ones that are honestly, you know, walking with God, they're in tune, you know, they're going to just see these things. It's going to make sense. And so I think a lot of that, we don't need to stress about it. I don't think it's going to be happening and we never knew. You know, if you're walking with God, you're the word of God's a part of your daily lifestyle. I think you're going to recognize it when it happens. Of course, I also do believe that pre-trib rapture, and I think we're going to miss out on all that really bad stuff, you know, the big wrath, and that'd be a whole nother conversation for another time. But certainly not going to cover that right now. Yeah, that's right, for sure.
Not the episode to get into the rapture.
But yet, yeah, there's lots of information on all these things. You mentioned Daniel 11 and Ezekiel, and I forget the chapters in Ezekiel. Do you happen to know off the top of your head?
38.
I was thinking somewhere 30s, around. So yeah, it's somewhere in there. I don't remember exactly, but someone could look into that. There is one book I always recommend when it comes to prophetic things, and that's the famous Dr. Arnold Fruchtenbaum. I probably mispronounced his name there, but and it's Footsteps of the Messiah. Excellent book. He is just on a genius level, and I think he handles it really well and just lays it out one thing at a time. And so I think he's very honest when he treats scripture. He has a high view of scripture, and I just really appreciate it. But go ahead. You had something?
Oh, no. Well, okay. I mean, yeah, I got all kinds of things, but I don't have time
for it. I don't want to cut you off.
No, I mean, yeah, with the whole prophecy thing, I mean, we won't know in the middle of it whether it's prophecy coming true or not. I mean, you can look at it and say, oh, certainly some things would line up, possibly.
Yeah.
You know, it certainly could be, you know, signs of the times and different things. Is it the ultimate fulfillment of all prophecies? You know, I don't know. I mean, we'll know in a few years, right?
Right.
But I mean, I remember like the first Gulf War back was at 91.
Back in the day. 90, 91.
Early 90s.
Yeah, right. A lot of people thought that was, you know, the end's coming, right? And the king of the north is going, Russia's going to join into the fight and come down. I mean, I remember reading an article in some Christian newsletter about, you know, the king of the north, Russia's going to come down and join this fight, and all this stuff's going to happen. And it never happened, right?
You know?
But that doesn't mean we get jaded to the idea of looking and watching. You know, just because somebody made a false prediction doesn't mean prophecy's still not going to come true. And we need to keep our eyes open, keep watching, keep seeking, and obviously studying our Bibles, and because that's where the answer truly is. And I think when prophecy is ultimately being fulfilled, we're going to be able to look in our Bible and say, okay, right there, you know, we can see it. And of course, people have been saying that for a long time, and a lot of people have been wrong about the exact end and when it's going to be here. So, but we need to keep vigilant and keep watching. On a practical note, though, regardless of if this is prophecy being fulfilled or not, there are definitely things going on. There are people in need. And how can us as Americans over here in America, safe and sound with nothing, with no concerns, what can we do to help?
We got 5 minutes left of the podcast. Yeah. Good.
Right. So obviously we can be praying, like we discussed already, that these people that are in dire straits, that they would turn to Christ. For a lot of people, you know, that's the only way it would ever happen, is if they don't have any other options. I know that there are missionaries and agencies that are in Ukraine or near Ukraine dealing with refugees. Mm-hmm. And definitely we can seek out and contact them. You know, maybe you want to go through your local church to make sure that this is, you know, legit and
sure.
Someone that's actually, you know, teaching God's word, and we can support them. You know, I know my mission board has collected, you know, a lot of funds from people that want to help, and they have those available. They've already told all of the missionaries, hey, we have funds available, you know, if you've got refugees or any kind of opportunities.
Sure.
So, you know, this
is nice to know too.
Yeah.
If you run across some needs, you're like, oh yeah, I got the backing already.
Exactly.
So that's nice.
Yeah. I wish that we could take advantage and we had some ways to help them. But like I said earlier, they're getting so much help. We'd have to fight to be able to help, you know.
You know, but as things drag out too, you know, that may not be the case. You know, give it 2 years, you know, if it's still going, who knows?
So, yeah.
You know, a lot of people will handle refugees for a little while, but eventually, you know, the house guest overstays its welcome. So, and then there could be need. So, I guess it just depends how it all plays out. But.
Well, I think it's always important when this happens or whatever the next thing is that's going to happen, it's bound to happen. You know, it's important not just to pray for one side of the conflict, whatever it is, because sure. Even if, you know, you're looking at something like Russia and all you see is just pure evil, you know, if that's you, then all the more reason to pray for them, yeah, you know, and understand that God can do anything and that he would change Putin's heart. It says that he does change the heart of the king in Proverbs 21:1, just like you would change the channels of water with a little lever, you know, and the irrigation systems there. And so just pray for hearts to change, pray that God would draw them near to him. And like you said before, you know, a lot of these soldiers, you know, they're just pawns on the chessboard. You know, they're not saying, yeah, here we go. We're going to, you know, they're hating it. You know, they're just having to follow orders, and you know, a lot of times there's major threats if they don't follow through with their orders, and so it's a rough situation. So yeah, be praying for every side of the conflict. That's really important. We got about 2 minutes left. Maybe share. Do you have like a life verse or something, or just a key verse about your ministry, something like that that you could share and just give a little bit of the significance of it?
Yeah, well, a life verse I've used for years. Got me on the spot. I don't know if I can quote it, but Ezra 7:10, and Ezra prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. I think I quoted it right, but
that sounds right.
That's
sounds good either way.
Yeah, I know. Especially when I was preparing for ministry, that was kind of my outline. I thought, okay, I'm you know, prepared my heart. I'm studying. I'm preparing, mm-hmm. and then one day I'm going to go out and teach in, mm-hmm. you know, on the mission field. So that kind of gets it all in a nutshell.
Yeah, Ezra's pretty much the man too. He was everything. He was the whole package. I love when he got up and he basically preached for just hours and hours and hours, and he gave the sense. He read the word and gave the sense.
Yeah,
and that's always stuck with me. I love that. He read it, but the people didn't really quite understand the words and everything. So he just explained what words meant. That's all he did. It was so simple. Just because the word of God is effective and powerful on its own. That's great.
Yeah, so it's like a public reading with commentary.
Yes, yes.
Interesting times.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's all I want to do in my life, just kind of read scripture and kind of talk through it. But
yeah.
Anyways, it's been great to have everybody aboard. Yeah, we wrap this up. Rob, thanks for joining us. Your short furlough, making this time for us. That's really awesome.
I appreciate you being here.
YouTubers, make sure you stay tuned here, or the podcasters, jump on the YouTube. We're going to give some major updates here. For what's been going on in our ministries.
And don't forget to like and subscribe.
That's right. Interact, some comments, all that sort of good stuff. You know what to do. Just do it.